Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to read one verse, and that verse is 23. Luke chapter 16 and verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Let us pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the day that you've given us that we can live, and that we can come together as a New Testament church and serve you. It's a privilege to be able to get up out of the bed this morning, and to know this is the Lord's day, and to be able to come together with your people here and worship you in spirit and truth. How thankful I am, and our hearts ought to be made to rejoice because of this great blessing. There's people throughout the world that do not have this privilege. There's some, Lord, because of physical, and there's some because of the spiritual aspect. Lord, this morning, you've heard all these names we've mentioned, people that need our prayers and need your help and need your grace. And I pray that you'd be pleased to work mightily in the hearts and lives of all these. And there's some that we've not even called out loud or mentioned, Lord, but you know who they are. Some of them that are saved need you in a special way, and some that are not saved, Lord, needs to be saved. We pray it may please you today, Lord, as we've come together and assembled here, that you would open the heart of some man, woman, boy, or girl, and you'd bring them repentance and faith, and that they'd receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, Lord, as we've read this verse here in Luke 16:23 about this place called hell, we pray that you would open our understanding, that we might receive some truths concerning this place. And you might open the eyes of those, Lord, that are not saved, that they may be able to visualize. And we know, Lord, that we'll come by your working and your power to visualize what an awful place this is. To visualize the greatest need they have this morning is to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless our elderly, bless our young, bless all of us middle-aged folks. And help us, Lord, that we might live our lives for your honor, glory, and praise. Pray for our three young people that's graduating from high school. Thankful you've allowed them to do this, and pray that your blessings would be upon them. Now, Father, I ask that you'd be pleased to bless in this service and use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. This subject is mentioned several places in the Word of God in the Bible, and it goes without saying, there are a lot of people who believe that there is such a place as hell. And they believe it because it is taught in the Word of God. But there are a lot of people that do not believe there is such a place. They don't have the true understanding of the great God of heaven. And some would even go so far to say that, you know, that God would never send any person to such a place. Well, now that's wishful thinking on the part of a lot of people, is all that is. The whole heart of the matter is, the Bible makes it very clear and very plain that there is a place for those that are saved, and that's heaven. And there's a place for those that die unsaved, and that is a place called hell. Now, the Bible also makes it clear that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. You never have to worry about so many people dying that hell will not be large enough for them, because hell hath enlarged itself. So the hell was not only prepared for the devil and his angels, but was also prepared for those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and die without a sacrifice for sin, that die in their own sins, then hell was also prepared for them. Now, I want us, as we look into some scriptures this morning, to think and to notice that it is not a place that people imagine. It is not just a place of imagination. And when we read scriptures, it's not a metaphor, it's not a parable, but that hell is a literal place. And I want us to understand that when we read the scriptures as to what it says about hell, that it is literal. What we're reading is literal. It is an actual place. It exists. And the Word of God has much to say about it. The doctrine of hell isn't a popular doctrine. People don't like to talk about it. I say this, even though that I know what I know and I'm saved by the grace of God, I really have a fear for those people that are going to go there. I have a dread and I have a fear, and there's not anybody that I want to see go to hell. I have to say that from the bottom of my heart. Sometimes, you know, people use that word loosely, and they use it in a way of cursing when they tell the people that's where they want them to go. I don't want to see anybody die in their sins. I don't want to see anybody go to a devil's hell. Because I believe that the Word of God reveals unto us what an awful place that it is, and a terrible place that it is. Now, I recognize and know that I'd rather preach about heaven, even though I must preach about hell because it's in the Word of God. I'd rather speak about being with the Lord Jesus Christ and being there in the glories in the portal of heaven than I had to speak of people dying and perishing, dying in everlasting damnation there in the devil's hell, and all that the Bible has to say about it. But because, and some people said, well, why is there a hell? Because there's a heaven. You can't have one without the other. You can't have heaven without having hell. Because heaven wouldn't be heaven if the devil was going to be there. And heaven wouldn't be heaven if unsaved people were going to be there. So there is a heaven, therefore there must be a hell. For those that reject God, reject His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a place where the devil is going to be, and it's a place where all the unsaved is going to be. So if you preach about heaven, ye of necessity must preach about hell, because there is such a place. God deals with the unsaved, even in this world. But sometimes it don't seem to us like God's really dealing with them. How many times have you had this thought, or has it been said, well, look at them, they're not even saved, and look how they're being blessed. Many times, this is not always true, many times they'll drive the best automobiles, they'll live in the biggest houses, they'll own the most land, and they'll have the most cattle. That is, many times, I'm not saying it's that way all the time, but many times it looks that way to us. But what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul and spend an eternity in a devil's hell? What profit is it? It's no profit at all. But I believe that God not only deals with people in this life, but I believe that there is a future punishment which is going to come upon the unjust, and that is an eternal punishment that God has reserved. Has He not chained some of the fallen angels, reserved unto darkness? And yet we find that many a person, even this day, is going to die and go out into eternity, and there they're going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. That's sad. It breaks my heart. And I'm not questioning God in any manner or any way, because I know that God is the God of heaven. Amen. And ruleth and reigneth, and all is reserved and all is planned according to His purpose and according to His will. There's basically two things this morning that I want us to think about hell. And one is the character of hell, and the other is the condition of hell. You can't read a better passage of Scripture describing it than here in Luke chapter 16. But I keep saying this because I want you to recognize there's a lot of people today just don't believe there's a hell. And then they believe if there is one, what the Bible says is going to happen, there is not going to happen. There. I worked at Square D there in the factory for several years. And I worked with a boy by the name of Jones, and I would talk to him often. And he would say, well, so what if I die and go to hell? I'm going to be there with a lot of other people. But a person that says that doesn't recognize two things. They don't recognize, first of all, the condition of hell, and they don't recognize the character of hell. It's like I said, you know, we're going to go to heaven. If we could know what it was to be in the presence of the Lord now, we'd want to be there immediately. And if people could visualize, if it was possible for them to visualize what hell was, they would in no wise, even in their own reasoning, all things, would ever want to go there. And the whole thing comes down to that people do not know what the Word of God says about the place of hell, the character of it, and the condition of it. Now, there are two primary characteristics of hell. And they're found over in the book of Mark. Go with me to the book of Mark. These are two main characteristics of hell. Mark chapter 9, and they're in verse 46. Now here's two main characteristics of hell, and here's what it says. The first one is this, Mark 9, 46. Here's what it says. Here's the first characteristic. Where their worm dies not. That is the first characteristic of hell. Where their worm dies not. The second one is, and the fire is not quenched. These are the two primary, now there's other characteristics, but these are the two primary characteristics of hell. The first one is, where their worm dies not. And the second one is, where the fire is not quenched. Now people, If we could grasp this and realize this means literally what it says. The first characteristic of hell is where their worm dieth not, and the second is where the fire is not quenched. Now, men on earth cannot imagine anything more painful than the gnawing of worms. Can you? I thought about it. Every time that I think of that, I thought about over in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12, it is, and in verse 23. Now, notice here what happened. Acts 12 and verse 23 in this. And you'll see here what happened and took place. This king here, it said, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an orientation unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God, not of a man. This is Herod that claimed himself to be God. And notice verse 23. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms. And he gave up the ghost. He was eaten of worms. That's what it says. That's what it means. That he just of a sudden was eaten of worms, and he gave up the ghost. He died because he did not give God the glory. Now I believe that men on earth can imagine, I don't believe anything more painful than the gnawing of worms. And I believe, and the burning of fire upon the body of the flesh is what he's talking about here in this passage of scripture that I read in Mark 9:46, where their worm dies not. He's talking about their body. Is what that he's talking about. But I believe there are several Old Testament prophecies or Old Testament that are given, and this is the literal sense. Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 66, and notice there in Isaiah 66 and in verse 44 in that, but it's evidently verse 24 is where it is. And they shall go forth, now look, and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die. Now here's a prophecy. That is, their body is going to be such a body that it's not going to perish. neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. Now this is in the literal sense. Some people would say, when they read scripture like they're in Mark and they're in Isaiah, say, that's a metaphor. It's no metaphor. It is a literal scripture. Everybody today, they want the Bible, but they want to explain it away. The Bible says exactly what it says. And when they're talking about hell, if it's something they don't like, if it's something they don't want, they say, I don't mean that. It means something else. But it means exactly what it means and what it says. Where their worm dieth not. That is the character of this place. Now, surely, modern students of the Bible will say, surely God wouldn't do anybody like that. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ said exactly what he meant here when he said what he said here about their worm dieth not. That means night and day. I tell you what, even in this life, even if you're in prison, even if you're in prison, there is sometimes that you can't sleep. You know, even if you're in prison, there's sometimes you can't sleep. Now, I don't know from experience, but they tell me there's even sometimes you can sleep. And even if you're in the hospital, there's sometimes that you do get some ease, either from medicine or whatever it is, drugs to relieve the pain. But in hell, it ain't gonna be that way. There ain't gonna be no rest. You ain't gonna never get no sleep. You ain't gonna never get no relief. That's the character of where their worm dieth not. I mean by that, day and night, day in and day out, continuously, time and time and time, that day and night, there will be misery, and you'll be alive, and you'll know it. And you'll be tortured, you'll be tormented in that flame, and you'll know it. I can't begin to fathom that. Because all I think about I'm going to be on the other side with eternal life, eternal blessings. I'm thinking about that. And so we see the character of it. Now Jesus declared, if you'll go back to Matthew chapter 5, and notice with me in the 5th chapter of Matthew, and here's what he declared in the 5th chapter of Matthew and verse 22, and he said this. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hail fire. I mean a literal fire. And he has reference to hell fire. He has reference to fire that's in hell. That's going to be burning in hell. I tell you, I know Ben and the firefighters and all have seen some great fires and real, and I know how the heat can be, and I know that the agony and all and things, and I didn't sympathize with the firefighters too much till when I was burning trash and I got this fire behind the church and I couldn't get a hose. They're quick enough. I mean, this has been a couple of years ago. I didn't tell nobody. I told them. And I couldn't. And I tell you what, I burnt the soles on my shoes, you know. And I ran out there with a mop, but I forgot to wet the mop. And I burned up the mop and the handle. And, you know, and I began. And it wasn't so bad. It was breathing all that smoke. That's the getter. And I said, well, I'm going to sure leave the firefighting up to the firefighters. You know what I'm going to do? And if I'm burning more trash out here, I'm going to have a hose out here to where I can wet it down. And I thought about even that and the trauma of that, and that's nothing. That's nothing compared with hellfire. I believe that we need to recognize that. Now look, in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, and therein, verse 9 of the 18th chapter, and notice what it says. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. And what he's talking about here, there is a literal burning place. It's the same thing that was mentioned there in Luke 16:24. I am tormented in these flames. There's a fire there. It is burning there. And I believe that if Jesus said that there's fire in hell, there is fire in hell. I believe that. And he said this time and time and time and time again. And you can go to other writers. Isaiah said it so many times in the 33rd chapter in verse 14. And even James mentions fire of hell in James 3 and in verse 6. The Apostle John in Revelation spoke of a lake of fire. Just a lake that is burning, that it's on fire. And so I don't have any choice but to believe that there's a literal fire in hell. And there is, and neither do you, because what Jesus said. Then sometimes people say, come on, preacher. Now if you set something on fire, it's going to burn up and be consumed. I know that. I can set this piece of paper on fire with a match, and it's going to be consumed. I know that. And they said, well, how in the world then, with such an intelligent person knowing that, how in the world can you preach that somebody's going to die and go to hell and not be consumed by fire, not eventually be burned up? Because the Bible says so. Amen. And because of God and how God has designed it to be. Now, if I can go to heaven in a glorified body, which is going to live throughout eternity and enjoy all the blessings of God, if God can make us a body like unto that, fashioned like unto His glorious body, God also can make a body for a person that's going to be in torments forever in the flames of hell. You have to remember that. The same God that makes this glorified body, that makes that body of that person that's spending his eternity in a devil's hell. Yes. Go to Matthew chapter 10. I thought about, you know, the trauma. Almost everybody today lives to a certain extent, humanly speaking, a life of fear. I'm not saying you're not saved and don't trust the Lord. I'm not saying that. But there's a lot of characters in the world today. There's people that just soon shoot you, speak to you. There's people that just soon rape your wife as they had to commit any other crime, any other sin. And so there is a sense in which there is a fear that is built up within us. Now we know, look in Matthew 10 and verse 28, and here's what Jesus said. And Jesus even said, and I believe in this, he implies that there is some fear to the person that's going to try to kill you. I mean, there's fear to the person that is being killed or they think that is going to be killed. But here's what Jesus said in verse 28 of Matthew 10. And fear not them which kill the body. Now, and that's really all they kill, because if somebody shoots Brother Larry, when he's in Fort Wayne or somewhere, they won't kill Brother Larry. They'll just kill his body. Because he's going to live. He's going to live right on. They'll just kill his body. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But now look at this, and I want you to see the reality. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So we see that there is what Jesus has said here concerning both soul and body will be cast into hell. It won't just be souls that are in hell, but it won't be disembodied spirits that's in hell, but it will not be disembodied spirits that's in heaven, but it'll be spirits that are in bodies that are saved, redeemed by the grace of God, and in hell it'll be spirits in bodies. And not only is that soul or spirit going to suffer throughout eternity, but that body also is going to suffer throughout eternity. God has designed it to be so. And so I believe there will be literal bodies, literal, literal, literal bodies in hell. Look in Mark chapter 9 with me, if you will. Mark chapter 9. Now this is the character. This is the character of hell. Mark chapter 9 and verse 40. 3 down through 49. Now I want you to notice this, because there's the two characteristics. Now remember what the first one was? The first characteristic? Y'all remember what it was? for their worm dieth not. Now we're going to lead up to the second characteristic. Now look, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Now see, it talks about going in there, where thy worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's the two characteristics. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. See, people can be cast in with two feet. Where their worm doth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where their worm doth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now notice it keeps bringing the characteristics out. Now note. For everyone shall be salted with fire. And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Now, why do you use salt? You use salt to preserve. Salt is a preservative. And so, when that body is cast into hell, it's going to be salted with fire. It is going to be preserved by fire. That fire that's going to burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. And it'll never burn it up. It'll never be consumed. That's what it says here. Salted with fire. It will preserve their being with all their powers, with all their faculties, with all of their mind to think, and all the things that they have in today. They'll have all of these faculties. It'll be in hell, and it'll be throughout eternity. So these are the two characteristics. Now, does not the Bible say that God will show his wrath and make known his power upon the vessels of wrath? Romans 9:22 is where you find it. So that's the two main characteristics of hell. Oh, where their worm doth not, and the fire is not quenched. Oh, how that disturbs me. But now let's notice, secondly, the conditions of those in hell. Now we've noticed the character of hell, but what are the conditions of those that are in hell? First of all, describing the awful condition which awaits the worshipers of the beast, Revelation speaks of it this way in Revelation 14:10. Here's what Revelation 14:10 says. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That's what it says in Revelation 14:10. But in 11 he speaks, he says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up. In other words, the conditions of those in hell are going to be burning yet never consumed. Tormented, but it never stops. It never squints. It never lets up. It's right on and on and on and on and on. The Bible says, as I read to you all in Luke, chapter 16 of Luke, and verse 23 and verse 24. Now notice what it says here in this passage of Scripture, and it says, you know, the rich man died. The poor man died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man died, also died and was buried. And look in verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes. See, he lifted up his eyes. He could see. He could see. He had it all his faculties. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off in Lazarus' bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And it's that way. Day in, day out. It's that way through eternity. The sad thing is, and you all know and I know, that a person will never see this unless God shows it to them or reveals it to them. They'll never understand, just like we can't understand what it is to be saved, eternal life, and glorification. We can't understand that until God, by His Holy Spirit, reveals us to us as subjects of His, as born-again believers, saved by the grace of God. But I believe that we can cry out and warn people of this awful torment. So we see, the Bible says this. Now second, we find that hell is a place without rest. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting the age, I need some rest every now and then. I used to think I didn't have to have any rest. I used to, I that graduating class, I tell you, that was a bunch. You know, up there tonight. And the man sitting right by me gave the diplomas. He said, whew, said, look at all of their energy. And you know, they're so hyper in their energy. And I said, yeah, man, you want to go home and get in a rocking chair, you know, or get in a recliner. Joe Hardy, I said, you want to go home and get in a recliner or something like that. And I thought about, yeah, some rest. You know, and every now and then you say, I just got to have some rest. I'm giving up. I'm worn, my friend. I don't know what that is. But anyway, said, I'm just totally giving up. I got to have some rest. But there's one thing about it. The Bible says that hell is a place without rest. It's torment. Torment. Their torment ascendeth up forever. It's torment day in, day out, day in, day out. There's no coffee breaks. There's no vacations. Somebody said, I just got to get away. You know, I got to take a break. I got to get away. There is no holidays in hell. Get off no holidays. But here on earth, we see that is nothing compared to what it's going to be. It is a place without rest, constantly without rest. But third, the inhabitants of hell are in a place of punishment. They are there because Matthew 25:46 says they go away into everlasting punishment. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 speaks of being punished with everlasting destruction. The Apostle Peter, look what he said in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Look at this, the Apostle Peter, what he had to say about this. 2 Peter chapter 2 and there in verse 9. Look what he says in this. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Now notice. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So we see that hell is not a vacation land. It is not a place of bliss. It is a place of punishment. For God will punish. But then we see that one of the things is that all of these that are incarcerated there, or the inmates, we might say, in hell, they have an undying memory. Did I not read it to you in Luke 16 and verse 25? When he said, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in the last time receivest thy good things, and likewise last evil things, but now he is tormented and thou art tormented. He is comforted and thou art tormented. So there is an undying memory. People in hell are forever remembering their sins and all of that ever took place and all that ever happened. They're remembering all the people they ever met, every contact that they ever made. But there's another awful thing about this place. I watched those animals on television as they went in and looted them stores and killed them people and beat them up. Animals. They were animals, active animals. No restraint, no concern, no law, no love. Our society within the next 10 years will be a lawless society. We're headed to that. We're going to that fast. If God don't return, if the Lord don't return, it's going to be a lawless society. God doesn't intervene in some way, but I believe that what we must understand, you saw that, they tried to make excuses, do this and do that. There's no excuse for lawlessness. There's no excuse for killing people. There's no excuse for robbing people. There's no excuse for burning down businesses. There's no excuse to that. That is just the old lustful desires of the flesh and of Satan. And the one thing you got to remember in hell is it'll never be satisfied, and it'll even be worse than it is now. We have some good moral people today that's not even saved that don't want to be around people that act like that. And regardless of the ones that are saved, you can imagine how we feel having to be around that kind of a lawless society. But in hell, the fifth thing, those in hell have raging desires which are never satisfied. The rich man craved water. And there's the desires of the flesh. It'll be the where there's weeping and gnawing of teeth. They're biting one another. And they're insatiated with these desires that are passions and sexual. And they burn. And they'll be after one another in that punishment. Try to remember that. That it's such a place as this. My, hell is not a beautiful place, is it? It's a place of sin. It's a place of misery where people meet. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Now, I just didn't want to be saved so I'd escape hell. That's one of the fringe benefits of being saved. You don't have to go there. But God brought me into places where I saw that I was doing things. I thought any moment that I might just be swept off in terrible judgment. I felt hopeless and helpless. God was working in me what He wanted to bring, the passion to bring to see that I needed a Savior. To see how undone I was and how lost that I was, and I needed a Savior, and that Savior was Jesus Christ. And then with loving kindness He drew me and He saved me. He opened my heart and ran to with kindness of faith and received Jesus Christ. And now I serve Him because I love Him. And thank God I know that I'm not going to hell. And I know there is an altar. But Jesus Christ is more than just a far escape. He's more than just a way out of hell. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer of all those that believe on Him and those that trust Him as their personal Savior. So these are the two things I've given you, the characteristics or the character of hell, where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched, and the awful condition. I pray that it may please the great God of heaven that He'd grant repentance and faith to you that are not saved this morning. And you may be able to leave here. You know, if you leave here not saved, now here's just how plain it is. If you leave here this morning not saved and you die like that, you're going to go where I'm talking about. That's just the way it is. If you leave here, and I'm not saying this here, this is no scare tactic. I'm just telling you the truth. If you leave here in your sins and die in your sins, you're going to go to this place the Bible describes. But if you leave here this morning by the grace of God, if you leave here this morning having been saved by the grace of God, then you can in your heart rest assurance and say, heaven is my destination. There's a tremendous difference between these two places, and the difference between them is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the difference.